chance to finish this. You guys, like, said, I left you with a cliffhanger, a little blue, you know, something. But we're going to finish this later. What's wrong? Sorry, too much energy? What's that?
You really just have 20 minutes of battle?
Yeah. I get 15 more seconds.
Okay, I'll give you, I just took 15 seconds.
All right, okay, it's part two. You know, Hollywood likes to see what can we be doing that, so here we are. 260 slides of 347 by my math, Asian math, 87 slides, 20 minutes, no problem. All right, we got this, we got this! 87, 20 minutes, it feels like a lifetime, it's all good. I don't think this is working right. No, okay, so I'll just do manually here. So, principle number five is to shine a light on the dark. And if you've been here before, if you've been to a forum day, you've seen me speak about personal branding, you kind of know where I'm going with this, but I'm going to try to make this super simple. When I was growing up, I didn't know what this symbol meant. It just looked cool. Beautiful piece of design. It's about balance and harmony, equal and opposite. It's not good or bad. It's just different energy. I found this quote, "The mind is everything what you think you become." And a lot of times we perceive our dark side to be so, it brings so much shame and guilt. It makes us anxious that we never share it. And then we're talking about how to be more authentic in the world. How can we be more authentic in the world when we're not being even honest with ourselves? So when I talk about personal branding, I really do want you to look into the dark, get to know yourself, and to bring it to the surface. Because once you are able to see it and own it, no one can own you for that part. And there's a great quote from Wayne Dyer, "Change the way you look at things, the things you look at change." So I want you to put this in a different context, because whenever I talk about this, people are still really reluctant. Like, they're like, "Man, I don't want to do that right now. I'm not ready." So I'm going to ask you this question, okay? We'll do this together. So every good thing has a negative thing, and every negative thing has a good thing. Actually, they're just things. It's just our perception of it. We label it as good or bad. So what's the downside to something that's good? So if you're really tall, there's a couple of people really tall here. What's the downside to being really tall? You play basketball? That's a good thing, isn't it? What's that? Clothing. You got to shop at the big and tall store. Maybe the clothes cost a little bit more. Maybe they never have your size. What else? Oh my God. The airplane is the worst, right? I traveled with my buddy Drigo. He's 6'3". His knees are in his chest, right? Okay, so let's do another one here. What if you're like really rich? What's the downside or the negative side to being really rich? What? Everybody asks you for money. More money, more profits, they say, right? The problem with being rich is you never know who's really there for you and who's there when you lose that money. So, see, even being rich has a problem. What if you're, like, just too smart? Overthink. Who said that? Do you suffer from that? Yeah. but you know what? You didn't overthink that answer. You went with it, so maybe you're not that smart. I don't know. Just gonna have some fun with you today, okay? Alright. So you can see here, if you're too tall, if you're too rich, or if you're too smart, you have some problems. So you understand how the game is, so we'll flip it to the other side now. What's the positive side to something really bad? What if you're just really short? What's that? Your life is lit, but how come? You can fit anywhere, you're right. Even in premium economy, it feels like first class. Yeah? Right? For sure. You don't have to order the big Uber. You can just fit in the Uber, what is it, Uber X? Life is good. What's that? You can sit in the back seat. Maybe this is a good, maybe it's a bad thing, but I can show clothes to my kids. My kids come into my closet, I'm like, "You gotta ask Dad first." You have to. So there's some benefits there. What if you're poor and broke? Nothing's good with that? Oh, nothing to lose. Okay, I didn't hear that right. I was like, man, that was brutal. Humble. Well, what else you got? You're poor and broke. What else you got? What are you going to brag on? The no money in your bank account? Yeah, okay, so I think when you're poor and broke, some of the people that I know who have no money are the happiest people I know. They have the best relationships. They have the best attitudes. They're grateful for everything. Every little thing they have. And they're never going to pretend to be anything that they're not. It's pretty apparent. Okay, If you don't know who Rory Sutherland is, he wrote this book called Alchemy, The Magic of Original Thinking in a World of Mind-Numbing Conformity. You can see the pattern, the things I'm attracted to, is by getting you to break out of the norm, to break out of the box. So he has this observation where we want to compete where no one is expecting you to be good. So we have to like turn our faults into our features. Okay, so I'm gonna give you some examples. How do you flip this around? How do you embrace that darkness, the thing that you just feel like, oh, I wish I didn't have this, I wish I could change this about myself, about my business, my industry, the way I look, the way I sound, just work around that, okay? So a while ago, there was a campaign done for Montana Tourism, and they did a kind of a survey of people to figure out what they were already thinking about Montana. And what they found out was everybody was having this negative attitude about Montana. There's nothing here to do. Just mountains, trees, and streams. Darn. Right? There's nothing here. So you know what their ad campaign was? There's nothing here. They took a very negative thing and they made it a positive thing. And how, like, there's no faking here. There's no fakery involved. They fully embrace that. It's brilliant. So there's a little car company called Mini. And if you were to say, like, what's the negative thing about Mini? Well, it's really too small for American roads. It feels like you're going to put your life in jeopardy next to these gigantic SUVs. The Escalade is going to run right over you. So how do we turn that into a positive? So we say that it's small but nimble. Maybe it's mighty small. And the way we do this is if we take this and we embrace this, the darkness of this, and we turn it into a strength, this can be a filter for how we speak to the world, our messaging. So you can say that Mini is small, but it packs a punch. It packs a punch, and this would be your ad. And you can say, like, it's small, so maybe it's like, it floats like a butterfly, but it stings like a bee. And this could be your ad. So you're embracing everything about the way it looks and the negative opinions people already have, and you turn that around, and you own it, and you claim it. You can say, well, you're already playing with fire here, so you can say maybe it's lit. Or maybe you've just met your match. So if we are able to sit down and take inventory of the things that we don't think anybody should talk about, and we want to get good with ourselves, and we embrace that, the way we know we've let the world heal is we start to talk about it openly. The thing that we're afraid of telling people about is the very thing that keeps people from consuming our content, joining our community, and feeling a connection to us. Now, if somebody had said this to me, and they wouldn't identify who it was yesterday, so that I've heard Chris speak before, I understand what he said, but I didn't really get into him until yesterday. Was that you who told me? Okay. But you're nodding like I told you. Sean, you're sending me mixed signals right now. Don't do that. No cap, right? Okay, anyways. So I was like, why? Why would so many see the content but not connect? And I have a theory as to why this happened. I don't know for sure because I don't know who it is. But my theory is for the first time I told a little about my story. I talked about my boy and the things we got to do. So maybe for the first time, you just didn't see me as a person who was like a nerd on branding, but as a human being, as a father, who's just trying to figure it out just like all of you. The things I don't talk about is the thing that keeps people away from me. So I have to learn that lesson too. Okay, principle number six, don't make them think. It's a principle of user experience design. The more complicated you make something, the harder it is for people to understand it. Brian talked about that brilliantly. I don't have any magic tricks for you, but he landed that plane very clearly, right? Complexity is an enemy of comprehension, of understanding, and if people don't understand your story, how do they tell other people that story? So there's a little thing that rhymes, it's something I borrowed from Daniel Priest and I changed it a little bit. And if you can do two of these three things, you're gonna be great, okay? A lot of you produce content and you go to a hard pitch. Or maybe all of your content is a hard pitch. Or maybe all of your content is value, but then you don't explain to people who you are, so they watch it and they just move on and wonder, like, why do I get likes and views but no business? So this is like the balance between these two things where you can give content to people, and you don't have to be so aggressive with your marketing, and it seems to work. And it's this, it's your name, your claim to fame, and if you want, you can label the pain. Just three parts, okay? Your name is the name you were born with, or you can use a nickname. The nickname is actually more powerful because now you can control that. Your claim to fame is just what you're good at, and don't overcomplicate this. if you can, if you can speak to the pain point from the customer's perspective, where if you say that you're like, yes, I had that problem, you'll do wonders for yourself. So I have a couple of quick examples today, but just to make sure, if you do this, to be simple and clear and true, and to make it memorable. And now you know who this woman was before, but I consume a lot of content, and she introduces herself as Madame Sweat. And the way she does it is, my name is Madame Sweat, I'm a personal hygiene expert, I help people with their personal and their home hygiene. In 5 seconds, she can tell you everything you need to know about her. And there's more going on here, but I think it's brilliant. So she'll ask you a thought-provoking question, she'll do her intro, and then she'll get into the content. So if you are a person who's led with generosity in your content, but you're wondering why it's not led to a full inbox, just try this thing. Start with a hook, what you're gonna talk about, and then do your intro, your name and your claim to fame. Or you can do your name and you can label the pain. So I'll give you a couple more. This is from MIT professor, his name is Robert Langer. He's known as the Edison of medicine. And if you can make it rhyme, or there's alliteration or repetition, you make it even easier to remember. Some of you guys might know who this person is, because he's in your industry. His name is Arvind Haddad. You guys know, anybody know who Arvind Haddad is? Am I the only person who watches real estate? Okay, one person, wow, okay. He critiques homes, and he says, I'm Arvind Haddad, I'm the how to buy a mansion guy. You see, so when we do this, we give people a very easy, transportable way to remember us and to tell other people about us. So even if you know nothing about these people, after today, you can repeat their story. There's Evan Fox, who does a bagel food truck, and he goes by the name of Beastie Boys. And there's a gentleman, his name is David, he does fine rugs and textiles, he's Lawrence of La Brea. That's a street in LA. And there's Michael G, Ribs Against the Machine. Now there's a gentleman, I met him yesterday, or it was yesterday, his name is Brendan, I believe. And I'm like, there you are. And I'm like, what should they call you? He's Tech Jesus. Brendan Ray? Yeah, this is her time. Look at him. Is he not Tech Jesus? But he didn't want to embrace that. Okay. When you fool can make something complicated, what your job is to make it sure it's really simple and easy to understand. So we can do this thing. It's a name generator. Okay? So here's what it is. You might want to take a picture of this because I'm going to go through this pretty fast. Time's up, my friend. You have your name, and you kind of make a list of all your defining traits. Every little thing, everything that's good or bad, and then you think of a popular symbol or metaphor. It could be in pop culture, it could be fictional, it could be real, like you're the Pinocchio, or you're like the Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz, and then you can start to look at your nickname. Okay, so the example here, and I did this last year, but I think I've structured it a little bit better and easier to understand, okay? So let's say you're an MMA fighter, okay? What would you say your defining traits are? With this one person in particular, is very durable, it's very hard to knock out, so he's very tough and very resilient. And so what are the symbols and the metaphors? You can see he's a granite or an iron chin. And he's the Energizer Bunny because he takes the licking, keeps on ticking kind of thing. And so what could the nickname be? Well, his real name is Jung Chan Sung, which is hard to say, but it goes by the name of Korean Zombie. And I think that's brilliant. Because now that conjures up an image in our mind and a story that's transported with that image. And the image on the left is this actual logo, so you can actually make merch. But I didn't think he fully embraced the whole identity, because I would use the biohazard stuff, and then start to use this distress stencil type, which I generated. And then he can borrow from this visual world, and this becomes very fertile for him to like make more stuff, okay? So if you want to try one thing, besides the packaging thing that I talked about yesterday, try this name claim to fame, and if you can come up with a nickname, it's even better. That's not lame. Okay, editing, okay? Okay, this is where it gets really fun. How do you embody your brand? Okay, there's this great line from an American poet, before he speaks, as soon as he spoke. Okay, if you know that line. And some of you might know my friend, I just mentioned him, he's tall, dark, and handsome, Brazilian guy that I travel with. His name is Drigo. And Drigo struggled for a really long time because he's like, Chris, help me with my fit, help me with my fit. I don't know how many straight guys come in and tell me help me with my fit, and every time I mention something, they'll go, I'm not doing that. They go right back to khakis and a t-shirt, or joggers, right? So he had to step into his discomfort. And he had some mental challenges around this, around the price of some of these gloves. He went shopping with me several times, but finally he whipped out his credit card and bought something I thought he would never buy. He spent $1,000. That's a lot. It's a lot of money. Guys don't buy expensive things usually. And I was surprised also because the clothes he decided to buy had a very different silhouette. And he told me, I'm uncomfortable wearing these clothes because I feel like I'm the center of attention. I don't like that. So here's a story. I hope I can do this. Okay, that's what it looks like. Right? Yeah. So he and I were going to the finale of a TV show that I'm on. And he goes, Chris, I don't know what to do. I said, just drive over, wear your clothes, I'll fix the fit at my house. He shows up looking sort of like this, not quite like this. And I can tell he's like ready to crawl out of his skin. Didn't want to do this. And I said, untuck this, tuck that. Here, wear my tie, put this around. He goes, are you sure? I said, do you believe in me? He goes, yes. I said, don't worry, let's go. So we go out there, and you know, usually when he travels with me, people look at him like the hired help. He's not the hired help. He's my dear friend and a collaborator, and he has clients and does wonderful things. And I feel offended when people look at him like that, or they look right through him. And I told him, when we're together, I want us to feel like we're part of the same band. I want people to look at you with the respect that you should command and deserve. So we're out there, and something strange had happened. We're standing in line to get tacos, and people come up to me and just move right past me and say, who are you? And they start asking, are you a designer? What do you do? Are you a judge, a celebrity? Who are you? And I was like standing back with a proud dad. I'm like, oh, it's working. It is working. So they went from, who are you? To, who are you? So we do something, even though we tell people not to do it. We do judge a book by its cover. So those of you who are really ready to embody your whole brand, your whole identity, and you want to step out and be different, there's a couple things I want to share with you. Is think about fashion in three parts, shape, color, and texture. So let's go through the shape, okay? There's a woman who's doing this. She's Kathryn Finance. You know Kathryn Finance? Look, yep, okay, two people, thank you. All right, Kathryn Finance is in finance, but what she does, and she's become famous for this, is she goes into to the bathroom and takes pictures of herself. And her fits are fire. I think I'm gonna start wearing some of these things myself. But she also understands her body really well and how she poses to create these really interesting lines. There's a brand that I love, and you can't tell already, it's Y3, it's Yohji Yamamoto with Adidas, and I'm wearing a skirt right now, right? Not, you know, fit as the person is, but look at the silhouette and the shape. How if you just change the way that the clothes fit you, you change the entire perception of who you are. And that's what Drigo is really uncomfortable with. There's a brand called Acronym, and they're the kind of pioneers in tech apparel, if you know who they are. And the gentleman on the left is actually the designer. He's also their model, because when they first started, he had the money, so all of the clothes were on him. I didn't realize that was him. But look at the drop crotch pants, and what is that called, Ragi, like a Japanese-inspired jacket. Okay, so you change the silhouette, and immediately change how people perceive you. Then of course it's the color. So if you can't change the shape, change the color. So pink and white, usually, you know, color combination reserved for women. But there's a designer named Karim Rashid, he's Egyptian, and this is just part of his identity. And he has the coolest tattoos too. If you don't know who Karim Rashid is, follow him on Instagram. He explains a lot of the decisions that he has. He's famously designed so many products that are probably sitting on your countertop somewhere. He's an industrial designer. And then there's Rudy, I don't know if you know Rudy, but he's the man in red. He wears this in 100 degree heat. He's committed to this thing, okay? And then there's Ninja, Tyler Blevins, all blue. And they're owning the entire color brand. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go all top to bottom in color, but maybe pick an accent color and use that and use it consistently. So when people see that color, they identify it as you. It transfers over. Because you want to build brand assets, as we talked about yesterday. Then there's texture. You know, I didn't know this term, but I was looking this up on the internet. It's called grandpa core. Do you know about grandpa core? It's like where young hip people dress like grandpas. It's a good look. You laugh, but let me show you if it fits. Yes. Okay. And there's a designer based in New York, ALD, and he has some of the most fire. It's, if you just go to ALD's website, when they do their collection, he also employs these two beautiful black men, they're twins, And just the style, you know, adding the scarf, adding some color and texture, and drawing inspiration from like vintage or things that look old, and mixing and matching things. There's a Portuguese girl named Sofia Coelho. Sorry, I butchered that. But you know who Sofia is, anybody? Okay, these are her fits. And can you see the influence here? Like, I feel like she went into grandpa's closet, pulled out a couple things, and the mixing of materials and shapes and textures, it's brilliant. I have a jacket, by the way, so. And then there's Todd Snyder, if you want to go a little bit more mainstream, about how he's being able to like pull together textures and colors, and I get really inspired by this. So for those of you who want to redesign your wardrobe, I usually give my friends this assignment. Go to Vogue, find a runway season. They've documented runways from like four seasons in a year forever. Find a brand that you like, and then save four images from that. And print them out, and tape them to your closet wall, okay? You may not have any of the pieces, or you might have some of the pieces, but every time you put something on, look in that picture and say, what am I missing? Because what I think is, when you see a runway, some of the most brilliant creative minds come together to figure out the exact accessory, bag, shoes, how long the hem should be, the eyewear, and the hat, and accessories, and you're going to get a masterclass if you can just do this. So it's shape, color, and texture. I'm almost done here. There was a line, or a season from Alessandro Michele for Gucci, and I'm just so blown away by the looks. This is when you combine all of the ideas, different color, shape, and texture. And I just love these looks. And of course, my fave, Louis Vuitton, Virgil Abloh. And you can see like why I'm starting to wear skirts now. But I just love, like, look at the style of those glasses, fierce. And wearing a trucker cap with that kind of, with the soccer gloves, amazing. Then one more time with Todd Snyder for a Woolrich and Black Label. I just love the different shapes and the textures that are put together. So I want to help you create your signature look, okay? And I'll give you the formula and then get off stage here. Do you guys know the Polo formula? Why it looks like Polo? And this is like some of the looks here for Polo. And Drew had sent me a video. He says there's three things if you want to have the Polo look. It's number one, have an element of preppy. Number two, add something that's sporty. And number three, add some military vibes to it. Okay? So it's easy to wear one thing, but you just look like you stepped out of a catalog. Not cool, not something you can own. It's the mixing and matching of three things that makes it a unique signature look just for you. I recommend the foundation or base layer to be something that is 70% or 80% of your wardrobe. It's your go-to fit. And for a lot of you, it would be prep or like a business casual. And then figure out the two other things. And these are things that you layer in as accents or little pops of color or texture that change the look. So if we go back to this look for Polo, now that you understand the formula, preppy, sporty, military, you can see how it works, right? So the foundation layer is preppy. The shirt, the Oxford shirt with the kind of old school tie with the vest. And then they add sport with the jacket. And he's holding a football just to reinforce that. Then they add the camo pants. And that's a really good look to me. Now, all of you men, women, straight, gay, whatever, how you orient yourself, figure out your three looks, your foundational layer, and add in two accent layers. And let that be the thing that helps you to communicate who you are and what you're about. And just your aesthetic in the world. Remember how we talked about like 55% plus of our brain is dedicated towards visual processing, okay? So if you don't walk away with anything from the previous day until now, just remember, in order for you to have a real, true, authentic personal brand, you have to embrace this idea that it's okay for some people not to like you. Because if everyone likes you, my argument is no one likes you. They're just being nice. And to figure out what makes you meaningfully different. And then, if possible, and somebody had asked me this, Chris, if I figure out how I'm different, what's the next step? Do not underestimate how hard it is to figure out the part that makes you different. The rest of it is you can hire people to help you. Bring in creative visual people who spend their entire lifetimes dedicated to turning this into something, and it'll take you there. And that is all just to tell you to lean into who you are, because that's where your power comes from. Now, I have to explain this because I'm done. People are like, hey, we didn't get your slides. I know, because I haven't finished them. That's how that works. But if you do this, and there's a booklet, yes, my recommended book, reading all that kind of stuff. after I get back to LA, I will work on this and I will send you my notes and some of the slides from this. So if you want it, grab it. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Give it up one more time for Chris Doe. That was so cool. And so what's really cool about Chris is there's literally no end to the amount we can learn from Chris. Like, he teaches workshops sometimes where he'll teach the whole, it's a 2-day workshop just him. I think he did a week workshop right recently in Singapore for a bunch of entrepreneurs out there. They just jam with Chris every day for like 6 hours, 8 hours a day. And I'm like, bro, how do you have that much to teach? He's like, oh, I wasn't done. I was like, dang, this guy's on another level. And the thing that's really cool about Chris is he just loves to teach. So I know some of you have, you know, accosted him out in the hallways and watched up to Chris, take a photo and ask him a question. And he'll break down something for you right there. I remember the first time we had him at a mastermind, if you guys remember when we had that mastermind in San Diego, Darius and Greg, you remember, like, he pulled up to the thing and then we hadn't even told anybody what he's doing, and he was already on a whiteboard, and there was a crowd of people around him on the whiteboard who was just teaching a framework for YouTube. I was like, dude, we haven't even started the event yet, and you're already teaching. He's like, just give me a marker and a pad, and I'm good. I'm like, all right, let's go. He's a real one, for sure. So I want to get into a quick conversation about artificial intelligence, because I know we were kind of like anti-AI yesterday with, you know, what Ryan was saying, and then also what we opened with Sharon. He's like, I'm not going to teach AI, because I'm going to teach you how to crush it without AI. But there is truth to the fact that, like, we can use AI to enhance what we're doing. And even Cody said it earlier. She rattled off, like, 6 tools. You see how fast Cody talks, by the way? Like, I could just imagine her brain. There was, like, all these things, like, firing. And I was like, oh, my God, it looks like that spider web of ideas. But it was so quick. And so I wanted to bring our next guest out to break it down. And we have a person, Arthur Warren, who's crushing, but they actually helps people in our mastermind with this thing. But I wanted to make sure we could help everybody here. And I connected with this person last year, and I was like, hey, we need to figure out a way to get you to forward. We were just jamming on Instagram. And then it just worked out that she was good. I could fly her out here. I had to twist her arm a little bit, but we made it happen. And so, guys, I want you on your feet. I want you to welcome to the stage the founder of Vocable, the new tech tool, and she's this is her second time founding a company. She's also educating people on AI, big brands like Mercedes-Benz and so many other big brands on content strategy using AI. Welcome to the stage, my new friend, Iman Wu. There's different strategies using AI. One is outbound, one is inbound. And so I think we were just, like, you could quickly explain which side we should go to, because I have a feeling we're gonna just go on one side.
Yes, definitely. So I'm a big fan of inbound marketing strategies, especially around building your brand and creating an environment where you're the one attracting clients, you're the one attracting customers. They already know who you are, they trust you, build that credibility, you have thought leadership. And now you're able to grow your business a lot more seamlessly and also enjoy the process versus outbound, which is a lot of cold calling, a lot of just finding prospects and knocking on doors of potential clients that just don't really know who you are, what you've achieved, your credibility, your expertise. So really, I think the biggest value of your time at this point is really creating content that is able to build a personal brand where you're attracting versus chasing.
Awesome. Yes, so we're going to focus on the tools for inbound. Would you guys agree? Would that be cool with you guys here? There are tools to go outbound, and there's other things we can get into in a different conversation. But when you think about inbound, we know a bunch of different content strategies. Everybody here is working on building their brand at some level. They want more customers. They want more inbound leads. They don't want to chase people, but one way of doing this is by putting out more videos. And a lot of people here will talk about like, hey, you know, my videos aren't resonating with the audience, or I used AI to generate a script and it seems kind of just like a canned thing. And so they're like, you know what, I tried it, it didn't work. So what are they doing wrong? Like, how are they not using these tools correctly?
Well, I think we have to take a step back and first, before we even jump into, oh, I want to create videos, I want to create content, you have to really go through a series of questions. And I think especially now in the age of AI, where the barrier to entry is so low that it's so much noisier out there. So the idea of just creating content to create content no longer works, because you really have to find a niche or an angle where you actually stand out. And the best way to go around that is taking a step back and really asking yourself the hard questions. And maybe using AI to actually flush out why you're creating content, who you're creating that content for, what does your ideal customer profile look like? What are they struggling with? What is their pain point? What are they even talking about online, right? So we have a lot of forums right now with Reddit and TikTok where people are actually asking, your dream client is asking the questions already. You just have to find what those are and then tailor your content to those top trending topics or what the buzz is all about. Because ultimately, you want to create content that delivers value to your dream customers so that they see you as a value add resource and they trust you more with their money. So before you think about, okay, I need to post X amount of videos on Instagram and this many LinkedIn posts, why am I doing it? Who is it for? How do I convey my message to actually solve their pain points? And then take that as your strategy and use AI to flush it down into a content plan or a much more fleshed out content strategy with scripts and also which channels you should be on. Obviously, you don't want to always be everywhere because you have a dream client that probably uses one main channel to really engage with, and maybe that's where you should start if you're a novice at this. Of course, if you have some content for a while, you can always scale up. But I always recommend when you get started with the idea of I want to build a personal brand and attract clients using content, start with one main channel that you really master before you can scale up.
Yeah, I love that. And I think narrow your focus rather than trying to do five things and then, you know, like none of them really well. So I kind of, somebody's like, hey, why aren't you doing LinkedIn? Why aren't you doing this? I'm like, because I've narrowed my focus to expanding Facebook. And the only reason Facebook is because it's connected. You know, you can hit with one post, you get both. And
you can always repurpose too. I think once you've seen, at least for me, this is what I do. A lot of the content that I turn into reels are actual LinkedIn posts that really engaged already with my audience on LinkedIn, and I turn them into scripts immediately. Because repurposing is a really great way to scale your content without always having to reinvent the wheel. And I always say you don't need more ideas. You don't need more topic ideas. You don't need more things to talk about. You just need more ways of turning your main message into multiple formats and multiple angles. And now with AI, it's so easy to do that. You're able to find tools that are going to take one core idea, and this is also how we build Bookable, is you take one core idea and then you basically turn it into 30 days worth of content across multiple channels with just one prompt. And so you're able to really scale your message without scaling your efforts.
That's so awesome. So, okay, which model should we be using for this? Like, should we, how many of you guys are using ChatGPT on a daily or weekly basis? So majority of the room.
How many are using Claude?
So not many at all. Okay, so I prefer Claude. Okay, like for writing and helping me refine my thoughts. I feel like it's way better with creative writing. Is that just anomalous? Like, is that just anecdotal? Is that just my experience, or would you say Claude's better?
I do, and also we use Claude as one of our main default models on Google because it is the best with pros, and it's just really great. Also very in depth. I think. Sure, if you guys already use ChatGPT, that's kind of the main model everybody's referring to. It's very surface level at times, and you could compare and contrast for yourself. Use the same exact prompt, put it on ChatGPT, and then put the same prompt on Claude. You'll see how big of a difference there is in terms of the meat of the content and the in-depth it goes in. So I 100% recommend Claude for anything long form. Even emails, I defer to. Emails are like, email newsletters, long form blogs, guides, any of the lead magnets that you create, I 100% recommend Claude for that because you will get a lot more value with a very simple prompt. And I also think that what people forget to do, you know, because we just kind of fought into this idea that we all have to become prompt engineers, and that's the best skill you can have now. That's wrong. I think now you can refer to AI to create the prompts you need for anything you want. I don't ever spend my time sitting there figuring out, okay, let me write a novel as a prompt to get the best output. I just give Claude a couple sentences, and Claude is really good at writing prompts as well, rather than ChatGPT. And then I ask, what is the most optimized prompt you can give me to get the best output possible for this specific task? And so you take that prompt and replug it back into your AI tool. So what, definitely don't waste time trying to figure out how to be a prompt engineer when you can just use AI to prompt engineer for you.
Yeah, you just ask it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think about, you know, telling it, people, giving it more context, but one thing that's really helped me, especially in creative writing, is giving it a bunch of the stuff that you like, or maybe the stuff you've written, so that it can talk in your right voice.
Yeah.
So, and then two of the things that you mentioned were making sure it understands who you're speaking to.
Right.
So just practically, let's get into like basics, like I want to be super tactical here with everybody. So you open up Claude, and imagine, because I only saw 12 hands go up for Claude, like most people aren't using it. So and so you open it up, you can do a chat to you, and you start a new chat, and I'm like, okay, where do I start? Do I start with finding out my target audience and their problems and pain points? Do I need to know this, or can the model help me find this? And then in that same thread, or do I start a new thing? Would I start working on the writing process? Because I would love for people here to take an idea that they have in their head right now, something they want to teach, or a message they want to get to their clients, and they have the ideas, but I want Claude to be able to help them practice this better,
yeah.
Because that's what's helped me a ton.
Yeah, well, so I think also one thing to remember, even with ChatGPT, since most of you are already using ChatGPT, is that there are different models to pick from. So the 401, the 4.0, is the SAS model that's kind of the default model right now, which most people probably are using. But if you really want more strategic thinking and research, if you want to change to other models that they have in it, they're a little bit slower, so there's a little bit more latency because they're thinking deeper. And so when you're doing strategy work and where you kind of flushing down your target audience, who they are, I would use the research model because that way it actually pulls from the internet and it's able to research exactly what your target audience is struggling with and be able to really frame who your ICP is based on a lot of that insights from the internet. So make sure that you're using the right model for whatever task that you're using the type of. And so yeah, with what you just talked about, you want to use the same thread because the idea is that you want to continue giving it context and build with ChatGPT or Claude all the way down to even your content plan if you're using Claude for that. So the first thing I would say, even before you open up any AI model or any AI chatbot, I would hope that you have somewhat documented a lot of what your brand is about and even old customer testimonials if you have. So the first, I think, step that many people do skip when it comes to using AI properly is really spending time to gather the data that you have. Document your customer testimonials, document your messaging, document any even customer voice, right? So how do people talk about your brand? How do your customers now refer to you as a brand, as a thought leader? A lot of that context is really important in order to really get a more personalized, tailored output from AI. So that's step one for me, not opening any AI chatbot. If you haven't done that already, if you don't have a folder, a database where you have gathered all the information about your brand, about your unique approach in comparison to your competitors, who your competitors are even, make sure you use that first. And then use that context as something you add into your chatbot as documents. You can, obviously gather everything into a PDF that you give it as context. And then now you start saying, okay, here's what my business is about, here's the ideal customer profile that I'm trying to target, and here's my unique approach in comparison to these competitors. Can you help me come up with a strategy for my messaging? Start with your messaging. Really hone in on what your messaging is first before you even translate that into communication strategy or content plan.
I love this. So real life example, guys, and you let me know if I did this right or wrong, but I'm talking with Christo, and we were working on the brand messaging for Forward. Okay, so he was helping me out. You know, he's one of my coaches in business and creativity. And he was like, okay, you know, who's the person? And he went through all these questions, he's asking me all the questions, and he made me pick who is the customer I'm speaking to with this brand. And I'm like, well, it's like a lot of people. He's like, no. Who is the person? I'm like, well, it's a man or a woman, this age. No. Is it a man or is it a woman? What's his name? What does he do from morning till night? What are the problems he faces? What are the things he's struggling with? What are the things he did? What are the things he values? Like,
income?
Yes, income, whole thing. And he made me document, like, this is my customer. I'm like, well, Chris, it's more than that. It's this person, it's that person. And he's like, no, it's okay. Like, we can broaden it, but in the beginning, it needs to just be this. And so, he made me go through this exercise, which was kind of like anti in my brain, but then what I did was, like, once we had all that, we fed that into an AI model. And so we just talked about it on Zoom, and then we took the transcript from Zoom and dumped the entire transcript into, like, and it kind of like put some stuff together. So not even me trying to organize it properly, I literally just took the Zoom transcript. Because you guys know, if you're on a Zoom call, if there's a button, you turn it on. It gives you an AI summary right now anyway. I think if you have Zoom, like the cheap version of Zoom, it'll do that.
That should be part of what you dumped all the time. When, especially when it's, for me too now, I do a lot of customer calls and user calls and user interviews. I document all of those transcripts because that feeds back into our brand positioning. Yes. And I think a lot of people don't realize how important that is in order to really define how you position yourself in the market. And then going back to what you mentioned about that one specific person, I think the mistake most people make when they're building a personal brand or even a business, they're trying to go for the masses. Instead of just, if you were to sell to one person, if you were to sell to one person, what is that dream person profile look like? And then start there. Even when you're creating content, I think people will say, you know, they start videos with, hey guys, or hi everyone, versus creating content as if you're talking to one person, because when people are scrolling, it's just you and them, right? You're talking straight to them. So act like when you are creating content or building a brand, who is that ideal customer? It could be one description starting there, and again, you can always do that.
Yeah. So we ended up putting that into creating a project or creating a thing with all the documentation, and then like it understood the person I'm talking to, so then I could give it more information about my brand. I asked it to ask me questions as well, like ask me questions, that anything you need additional information in order to give me the best messaging possible, and then ask me a bunch of questions, and I just took some time to like set this up. Like it's not like it's no time or no effort, but there is a little bit of effort there required. And I feel like everyone skips that, like you said, but then what happened afterwards really shocked me. When I said, okay, I'm preparing an email to let people know about this, or I'm working on a video, and I'm not sure what the messaging should be, but here's what I'm trying to convey. The output was like 10 times better by just doing this first setup part. And like, I don't think anybody does that.
Yeah, and it's also now, you're thinking of it as in the context of AI, even though sometimes it might take a little bit more effort, and I think this is where the mindset has shifted from, you know, the masses, they expect AI to be the magic bullet, know everything about them all the time, and just give them what they need immediately without them investing enough time to really guide it. But that is a step that's probably the most important now. That's what we say, the human in the loop. You still are the ones guiding AI, and so you still are the ones responsible for that strategic vision and being able to really give it as much context and information the same way you would when you hire someone new, right? So you don't just bring on someone new and expect them to know everything. You have to onboard them.
It does not work.
So you have to onboard them in a way. And so I think when you're using, especially these models, too, they learn from you. The more context you give them, the more documents and, you know, guidelines you give them, the better over time they get when you're working with them. So 100% making sure that there is some kind of investment in brand training is probably the key to getting a lot more optimized output that you're looking for.
Yes. Okay, so here's the shift I've noticed. We had a call before, and I think you agreed with me, like talking head videos, we're trying to educate our audience, like being more and more difficult to connect, only because the audience, like, preferences have changed on short form. Like, talking head never dies on YouTube, by the way, long form. If you're good at communicating and you have the idea and you put it together right, that's just timeless. But on short form, it kind of comes in waves. And how many of you would agree that when you make a talking head video, it's harder to make it reach a lot more people these days? Would you agree? That's the same.
How many people enjoy making talking head videos? One, two, three. Okay.
not as many as I would have thought. So
not me.
So obviously alternatives are just putting B-roll with the text over B-roll and music. And we all know these little things that work. But I think where it would really kind of improve is whenever we do talk again, when I tell a specific story. Like storytelling is where it's going, and you've seen so many accounts flow with storytelling. And then I looked yesterday, just in preparation for today, like when you go on YouTube and you look up storytelling, it is one of the most searched things in content marketing right now. People want to become better storytellers. We all need to become better storytellers. Whenever we talk about things, sometimes we're like, what are the things you hate when someone tells you a story? Too long. They ramble on. It feels like they're not going
to
plan.
There's no personality to it.
Yeah.
It's not emotionally resonant. And I think that's the key now with content in general, especially in the age of AI, because again, it's the barrier to entry so low that anybody can become an expert at anything and regurgitate it in a talking head format. And that's when you really start seeing this noise versus the actual real domain experts who are able to resonate with you because they actually understand your pain point. You know, and for me, this is something I had to remind myself to play on more in comparison to my competitors who are tech founders. Most of them that are building AI content creation tools aren't domain experts in the world of content marketing. I come from that world. I've ran content teams, I built, you know, a content startup before, so I know the true pain points of what it's like to build a personal brand through content creation, and I feel my customers' pain points. And I don't think I've played on that enough while I was building the product. And now realizing that the people who are winning now in marketing are the ones who are able to come out of their shell and actually play on their vulnerabilities, play on the emotional resonant side that they can turn into content that actually resonates with their audience. And I mean, you guys probably also feel it too when you're scrolling through content. I have a hard time connecting with people who just feel like they're just remembering or, you know, memorize the script, maybe really reading off the script. And there's really nothing that they're documenting behind the scenes that I can feel like I can relate to. But then every time that I find myself following someone new on Instagram, even if they're not even in the right field or the same field as me, it's because I was drawn to their story, their ability to articulate that story and document it, and also their they don't need to show the perfections of it all. I think prior to maybe this post-AI era, I thought that as a founder or as a brand builder or a thought leader, you kind of have to show that you have it all together and you have it all figured out all the time. And there was this kind of a notion of, oh, I want to come across, you know, higher than I already am because that's the only way people can trust me or take me seriously. Now I think it's with the script. Now, if anything, people do want to connect with people who are still in that process. They don't want to learn about someone after they made it. They want to see the process they had to go through to get to where they are today. That's why we see a lot of creators that are growing exponentially now on Instagram, TikTok, are people who are just bringing you behind the scenes with them and telling you, okay, this is day one of me becoming a millionaire. Come with me. We're going to figure it out together. And you're drawn to that, even though they're not there yet. But you know that one day when they do make it, you were part of that journey. And similarly, I think with brands now too, they are really playing on this element because you're starting to see a lot of brands that are now investing in creating series on Instagram. For example, I don't know if you're familiar with the brand Built, which is the credit card that allows you to gain points for paying your rent and whatnot. Now they've just invested in a whole series about finding roommates and finding rent. And so that's now where brands are putting. You know, that's where they're investing as far as advertising goes. They're trying to tell stories instead of just, hey, this is our brand, this is our service, buy it.
Yeah, it's like less information and more something that we're drawing
people. Yeah.
And so the main thing that I think we should focus on, the big takeaway, guys, is like, if you're gonna tell someone, teach somebody something, they need you in certain cases, not every post, but like in these types of posts, you want them to feel something. Like many people here, it's like a cliche thing, like you won't remember what I said, but you'll remember the way I made you feel. So if they're not feeling anything from your storytelling, then it's probably, that's why it's not connecting with them. So what you would do is like in the same thread or project, wherever you have going, like tell it the story that you would like to tell and just ramble. I use, like Cody talked about this morning, she's like, I don't want to type anymore, I just use voice. Like it's so efficient, just ramble all that shit in there and then say like, this is the story I'm trying to tell, help me make this, what, like how would you prompt it right there? I just ramble off this long story that I would never tell them because you're not going to listen. So long-winded. How would it cover your mind?
I teach it your style first. So I think what I do because I just launched a series myself as well, and I wanted to really hone in first, because one thing you guys have to remember too with these AI versatile chatbots that are everything for everyone, like Claude, Gemini, ChatGPT, they are trained to remain neutral. So that means a lot of the output, unless you really maneuver it, is always going to sound somewhat generic at kind of surface level, almost AI generated, and it's going to take you a lot longer to really get to that punchy, good script that feels like you as a human speaking, if you don't prompt it right from the get-go. And the way you do that is by feeding it, even maybe styles of other creators that you think, you know, you want to emulate the style, and feed it some, you know, a couple scripts that you like, this is the style and tone of voice that I want you to follow, and then ask it to analyze that style first, and then give you a description of what that style feels like. And then use that as now context moving forward to create your scripts. Because otherwise it's gonna feel really daunting to create these scripts. It's just not gonna sound natural, and that's probably way worse than you not putting on context at all. So you definitely wanna make sure that it's very much in yourself. And after you get the first draft, make sure that you have your human input to it. So a lot of the time I'm spending probably more time doing some editing and tweaking just to make it sound like me, and even giving it my own examples. Because ultimately storytelling is based on your story. And so you have to get very clear on what part of my story am I trying to communicate, and then also what parts of my day-to-day or any events or any interesting things happening in your current journey that you can feed it back into AI to be able to turn that into somewhat of a, you know, episode or storytelling.
Yeah, you can ask it to help turn this into something, a recurring series. Like, you can get the ideas from there. So I just think of, like, the smartest people I know, Iman, are using AI as their front runner.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just going, hey, give me 10 ideas. Like, no, it's like your friend, you know, that you're going back and forth with and that you've trained and that you're actually using. And so I know there's millions of other use cases, but, like, I just wanted to get into that because I feel like us being able to have better connecting content with the audience is going to be the differentiator going forward, because any piece of content, any of the big creators, like, they're leaning more into storytelling. Now, you will notice that, like, the biggest thought leaders can still just give you informational nuggets, but that's because they already have the authority to do so. Like, it's dangerous to look at someone who has already built their brand and has written 10 books, and you already give them the, like, I'll listen to that person when they talk, you know, but they may not listen to me because it's the first time they're seeing me.
And also be happy to, and then using AI to find what your style is, because it can be different. And I just remember recently, I don't know how they came up with my algorithm, but this really funny lady, she's a real estate agent, I don't know if she's big in the industry, but randomly I follow on her Instagram, and she's basically using a lot of dry humor to sell houses, and it's working. I mean, she's going viral.
Tampa, I don't know.
And I'm not in the market, but I was like, you know what, this is actually entertaining and interesting. I want to see a bunch of $1 million houses, and we're just making fun of them. And I followed just because of the content, and again, maybe at some point I might be in the market and she'd be an interesting person to reach out to. But again, you just want to draw that attention. And sometimes you could, you know, there are tools, for example, like Poppy AI is a really interesting tool that helps you pull together a mood board of your favorite YouTube videos or, you know, Reels or TikToks, whatever other content that you see out there that is inspiring to you. You pull together a few samples and then link that to a almost a ChatGPT-like interface, and then you use that as inspiration to come up with your own style of script. So that's a really interesting tool as well. We built Vocable AI to be more multi-channel content, so link with blogs, emails, but being able to really boost your business forward content on storytelling and hooks that actually pull in your audience in an emotionally resonant way. So there are a lot of purpose-built AI tools when you're ready for them to move from the generic, versatile, general AI chatbots like Claude and ChatGPT into more of the tools that are actually built for this kind of storytelling and content creation. And those are always good to add to your tool stack, because you stack them together and you have a whole now AI-powered system versus using chatbots to prompt one post at a time. That, I feel like, is not efficient anymore as a use case for me, at least. I'm trying to create content at scale, meaning I'm posting daily, and I'm posting across different three channels now. So using chatbots is a lot more out of my time and effort than I'd like at this point. So scaling your content also now requires you to put together an AI system and staff together with AI tools that go from research to planning to scripting to then turning those into supporting assets and then scheduling and publishing. And if you have the system down, you're able to really add AI across the board, then now you have a repeatable, scalable system where you can just do this once a month, and now you have set yourself up for content for the rest of the month.
Awesome. So think about this being, actually, the tool will help you post as well, like with...
Okay, so we'll go through the tool. Yeah. Can I go through it? Okay. So for research for your audience, especially for you guys, if you really want to know what's trending in your niche, I would recommend Buzzabout. It's a really great audience insights, audience sentiment, trending topics tool. Very easy to use. You put in your niche keywords, and then it scans whatever channels you want it to scan, TikTok, Reddit, YouTube, whatever that is. And it pulls a very detailed summary and report of the top trending topics. And you can chat with it as well, so you can actually ask it, what exactly does my audience want to know about XYZ? And that gives you already a good foundation to start as far as what am I planning to post that's actually going to engage my audience. Then I would plug that usually into Vocable AI, which turns all those insights into 30 days worth of content across the channels that you specify. And now you have scripts and copy for your Instagram posts or LinkedIn posts ready to go. Then I turn those scripts into supporting assets. And for that, I use a couple of different tools depending on what the assets are. So for graphics, I have carousels, I use Canva. It's always the best because of the templates, and I have very specific templates there. There's also PostNatro, write that down, which is AI-powered carousel generator. So you can
PostNatro, what is it?
PostNatro, N-I-T-R-O.
Okay.
PostNatro. So it's either that or Canva for carousel. For videos, I use InVideo.io, which is a very popular video generation.
We were talking about captions app. That's really upped up, leveled up in terms of AI.
Yeah, so but InVideo creates faceless video clips. For example, if you're doing, you know, a market analysis video that you don't need to be in it, you just want to kind of create that for your YouTube shorts or a reel, then InVideo is really good because you just via the scripts you get results from Vocable AI, and then it just turns that into a full video with, you know, all the stock photos. You can add your own photos to it as well. And then for I use AI avatars now for most of my talking heads because I cringe at like yapping in front of the camera. But HeyGen and Captions app have been so good at creating really good AI avatars, very realistic, unless you zoom in into the map, but I think nobody does that. So you want to film yourself a little bit far from a camera and use a professional camera. It's only 2 minutes, and it really creates a good AI avatar that you can feed it scripts. It lip syncs everything you need, and now you have your, you know, educational talking heads ready to go. Captions app is really good with editing as well. So I'm not an editor, but thanks to Captions app, I was able to definitely elevate my skills there. And so for publishing and scheduling, I use Planable. So that's a really good tool as well, where it pulls all of your channels together, and then you can just upload all of your supporting assets and scripts or certain posts into Planable, schedule it across all of your channels, and now you're able to move on.
This was maybe like an old problem, but maybe it's changed now. Years ago, we tried some of these tools for scheduling third-party tools, and it reduced my reach. So have you noticed any problem with Planable and posting, say, to Instagram?
I have not, but also for me, I haven't done a lot of posting in the past consistently to really have anything as a benchmark to compare to. And I know there is, yes, I think a lot of insights have come out around how these popular platforms like Meta and LinkedIn are kind of penalizing the ability to schedule. And I will say we're struggling with that as well because we are trying to add that into Vocable through APIs to be able to have people schedule and plan and publish everything through Vocable. And they make it a lot harder now in the process because they're trying to get people to, of course, use their own scheduling features.
Because they have scheduling within the app now, but it's a pain because you have to go in.
But it's not bulk and batch scheduling. That's the issue. But I don't think if you're posting daily and if you're intentional about the content, I don't think it should make a huge difference. I would much rather take that cut and then have a lot more content planned and scheduled then have to rely on myself to manually do this, because that's probably where I fall off. I just don't really, I'm not good at sticking to public, to manually uploading stuff on a daily basis, because you get caught up with your day-to-day business and work. So definitely having to plan ahead and batch upload and schedule is probably the best way to guarantee consistency for your content creation.
Yeah, and so if you guys don't know, on the back end of Instagram is Facebook, obviously, Meta. And they have something called, it used to be called Creator Studio. So if you just Google Facebook Creator Studio, it'll come up. It's now within the business suite behind your Instagram. And if you have a creator account on Instagram, you have this on the back end, because that is a type of business account. And you can schedule through that app on a desktop now. It just came out, like, they updated it in the last 6 to 12 months, depending on your account. And so you can use that to schedule that's native to the app. We can also try Planable, and obviously we'll report back within our communities here, like, anybody's noticing a difference in reach, but yeah, I would rather be consistent than not get the post up. But I just think, you know, getting more up to speed on using this and integrating into your daily life, like Cody talked about this earlier, so the perfect time is just like, hey, if you just start using this more often to create, like, you'll be so far ahead, because most people, like, we're like at the forefront right now. Like, yeah, if you like, we said, how many people in here raised your hand if you're using this? A lot of hands went up. If you did that in the casino, it's a different level of hands. It's like one or two, you know? And a lot of people are using ChatGPT at a super, super basic level. But if we start doing just a few things, it's a game of inches, like a few things more, you have such a leap ahead of the competition.
And I also encourage people to think about using AI as AI developers more than just using ChatGPT, because I bet there's a whole other world out there. And a good directory that I always recommend to people to play around once you're ready to really start looking out, okay, what is my bottleneck right now in my processes and how can I use AI to fix that, is there's an AI for that. It's a really good directory that you can just put in your task that you're trying to, you know, turn this voice into, you know, clean up voice in my voice recording. And it will pull up all the great AI tools that actually specialize in that specific task. And I think it's always good to play around with purpose-built AI tools that just stick into the ChatGPT, because again, it's very versatile, and you don't always get the greatest output for very specific tasks that you're using.
Yes, love that. Juan, thank you so much for being here. Guys, give it up for Juan. Something for the final talk of the day, which is coming up. It's from my friend Clint Oliver, who's just moving a dynamic message to share with you. But the thing is, he has to build something on the stage, and it's a surprise, like, for all of you here. So he asked, just out of courtesy, if we could clear the room for him for 15 minutes while he builds it, and then the surprise would make more sense for you guys. So what we're gonna do is, everybody on your feet, you can grab your stuff. You can come back to your same seat when we're done. But we're going to clear the room. And by the way, I just want you to know, we're having the merch sale. So we're the last chance to get merch at this event between now and this break. They're starting to run out. You need to order the merch. This will be the last chance to do so. So we'll do that. It'll be a 15-minute break.